Let's be seated because our God is good, our God is great, our God is mighty, our God is wonderful. Thank God for bringing us thus far. It has been the grace of God. Wherever you are seated, I want you to talk to God. I want you to pray. I want you to tell the Lord and say, Father, let your word manifest in my life today in Jesus' name. The Bible says that the entrance of the word of God brings light. If it does not enter you, it's not going to yield anything. The entrance of the word of God has got to manifest his word in your life today, in your destiny today. I want you to talk to him. Talk to him. You have not come to see a man. You have not come to meet a man. You have come to seek the face of your Father. You have come to seek the face of the King of Kings. You have come to seek the face of the Lord of Lords. You have come to seek the face of the one who sits on the throne, the one who rules in the affairs of men, the one who says, call me the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Tell him, Lord, today, let your word address me. Let your word penetrate my life. Let your word penetrate my destiny. And so shall it be in Jesus Christ's name. Somebody who believes God said, I pray this morning that every expectation shall be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Every expectation shall be delivered. Every expectation shall be fulfilled in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, please open with me to 1 Kings 18. It's a very good story. 1 Kings 18, and I'm going to read from verse 30 through to verse 46, and then we'll run through from there, because usually we don't always have enough time. I'm not a preacher, I'm a teacher. I like to teach the word of God. I'm graced for that. 1 Kings 18, from verse 30 to 46. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench round, about the altar as great as will contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord he is God, the Lord he is God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. May God bless his word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The Bible says in Psalm 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. What a great grace to be able to come into the presence of God, to be drawn by God. The people have deviated. The hearts of the people is no longer with God. The heart of the people is in pursuit of things that will perish. Jesus said to the disciples, labor not for the meat that perisheth. Labor not for the things that will not abound in eternity. Pursue that which is most important. The prophets of Baal, they have, and Jezebel and Ahab, they have derailed the people. Many in the church today also have been derailed, but they don't know that they have been derailed. Many mention the name of God, but they just mention it in a breath. They don't mention the name of God based on the passion that is supposed to be in their heart. So after all the ceremonies of the prophets of Baal, don't be deceived. Don't get this wrong. When the Bible said that Elijah repaired the altar that was broken down, it was not the same altar that the prophets of Baal offered sacrifice to their idol. It was another altar that had already been there before that people abandoned. The place of their fellowship, the place of prayer, the place of seeking the face of God. You come to church every Sunday, but the question is, are you still connected to God in that place of prayer? Are you still connected to God in that place of fellowship? Are you still connected to God in that place of knowing what the mind of God is? What did Elijah do? The first thing we see Elijah do was to rearrange. He rearranged the broken altar of God, the altar that was broken down. You need God. Everybody under the sound of my voice must need God in one area or the other. But then the things that are broken down, we are not willing to repair. There must be a willingness to put back together that which belongs to God that we have abandoned. It's just like when you have a home. No matter how beautiful the home may be, but you lock it up and nobody's living there. Before you know it, all kinds of creeps and animals will begin to live in that place, that home, that beautiful home, will become infested with all kinds of evil. The same thing with our relationship with God. When relationship with God has been abandoned, need I say to you, coming to church on a Sunday is not a relationship with God. Hello, somebody. Coming to church on a Sunday is what? It's not a relationship. Relationship is a daily thing. Praise the Lord. Relationship is waking up in the morning and talking to your Father in heaven and waiting for Him to talk back to you, even through His Word. Relationship is not just carrying the Bible on a Sunday and bringing it to church, and then you don't open it throughout, even through the week. You come to church with your Bible, you don't even open it to read, because the Word and Sound projects it anyway on the screen. Your Bible has no markings whatsoever. Your Bible has no where you have read and you have marked and you have put your thought or what you believe that the Word of God is saying to you, and you are putting it down there. No wonder you don't have a prayer point. No wonder you don't have anything to take to God in prayer, and you are saying, well, so and so, are my problems and this and that. Tell your neighbor, every solution is in the Word of God. Come on, tell them, every solution is in the Word of God. Every heart that desires God must be prepared and made ready for God. Every day, our heart must be made ready for God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that what? It takes diligence to seek God. Seeking God is not a passive hobby. Seeking God requires what? Diligence. Diligence means giving it time. Diligence means putting attention to it. If your life is full of tension, pay attention to the Word of God and tension will disappear. Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, if we sincerely, diligently offer our hearts to God, the grace of God will ignite a fire in your heart for Him. If we sincerely crave the presence of God, if we sincerely and diligently hunger for God and the presence of God, the grace of God will ignite a fire, a holy fire within us. Fire that nothing can quench. Fire that no enemy can stop. I'm not here to talk about the fire of God coming from heaven just to consume the burnt offering. I'm here to tell you that I hear a sound, and I'm very, very careful to say this. I'm extremely, extremely careful to say this. I could wait till what night service to say this. But I'm telling you, if you are prepared, if you are ready, and you are ready to walk it, you are ready to pursue it, there is an abundance that is about to be released upon your life. There is an abundance that is about to be released upon your destiny. Yes, you may have heard somebody say it before, and you are saying, well, they just said it again. Oh no, I'm not just saying it. I'm so careful about saying what I'm telling you right now. There is an abundance that is about to be released in this ministry. There is an abundance
fires that is about to be released in the life of as many who are going to be willing to connect to the agenda of heaven. Somebody say, I will. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Father. Oh, you better pray it like you mean it. Say, Father. Say, Father, do something in my life that will reveal your glory. In Jesus' name, open your mouth and pray. I'm giving you a few seconds to pray. Do something, oh God, in my life, something that will reveal your glory. Something that will make people around me know that I am serving the living God. Do something, oh God, even between now and the end of the year. Do something in my family that will reveal your glory in my life. That will reveal your glory in my family. Do something, oh God, that will reveal your glory in my destiny. Somebody say good amen. Let me tell you, I am extra passionate about what I'm sharing this morning. If the word and sound need a title, you can caption it, Prayer and Expectations. Prayer and Expectations. Hallelujah. Prayer and Expectations. God is ready for you anytime you are ready for Him. Let me say that again. God is what? Ready for you anytime you are ready for Him. Amen. We must understand with our whole heart, have this deep understanding. You need God to intervene in your situation, then you cannot but pray. Prayer is simply asking God and say, Lord, come and be involved in this situation with me. This load is too heavy for me to carry. Lord, I need your hand to help me carry it. That is simply what prayer is. Anything you can do by yourself, why waste your time and pray about it? But the challenges you are facing, the enemy that is pursuing you, the frustration you are going through, you need God's intervention. That is why prayer becomes imperative. What you have not settled in the place of prayer, folks, my brothers, my sister, fathers and mothers, don't expect anything. They say if wishes were horses, even beggars would ride. Christianity is not about wishing. It's about laboring in the place of prayer. It's not about promises missing. The promises are there in abundance. The promises are not there to be read and to be known. The promises are there so that you and I can war a good warfare. Every promise God has promised you is a reason to pray. Every promise that God has promised you is a reason to fast. It's a reason to labor in the place of prayer. It's a reason to tell God, I'm not letting go until these promises come to pass in my life. Those who give up easily don't get nothing. I pray you won't leave before your blessing arrives. If they say people are in a hurry, I'm somebody who is in a hurry myself. But when it is with God, you can't be in a hurry. Amen? The Bible says at his own time. At his own time. Not according to your own clock. At his own time, he makes all things beautiful. So we must stay there until his time. We must be there laboring until what? Until his time. Hallelujah. I want you to tell your neighbor, good is on your way. I'll say it like this. Something good is on your way. I pray your body is not just here and your spirit is somewhere else. Because if that's the case, you are not going to get anything. It's the truth. Say to your neighbor again, something good is on your way. Say something good is on your way. Hallelujah. We are so close to the end of the year. I have a question for you. What are you seeing about your life in the coming year? What are you seeing about your destiny in the coming year? Is it going to be a luta continua? Is it going to continue the way it has always been? When a man is satisfied with everything going on in his life, he won't change nothing. Are you okay with the way things are, or you want to change? Does God have a promise for you that he wants to bring to bear and to pass in your life in the coming year? This is the time to begin to labor for it. This is the time to begin to say, Lord, show me what you have in store for me. Because, listen to me, everybody, what you see, what you hear, what you know, is what makes you do what you do. Hello? What you see, what you hear, what you know, is what motivates your action. So if you allow God to show you what his plans are for you in the coming year, then that will begin to shape your actions. That will begin to shape your prayers. That will begin to shape your seed. Begins to shape the seed you sow from now. For those of us who see sowing as a burden, you are not ready for your blessing. Can I say it again? It's a spiritual principle. Seed time and harvest. If you see sowing as a burden, you are not ready for your blessing. Giving must not be a burden to you. Giving must be an opportunity. Cast your bread upon the waters. He says, after many days you will find it. You don't know whether it is this one. You don't know whether it is that one. So any opportunity that shows up, you plug into it. You don't allow any spiritual opportunity to pass you by. I've told us a story before of a man of God. I'm not going to mention his name. He wanted a son. They went to the hospital. You know how they do scan? And they say, well, we are seeing a girl. He said, no, it's not a girl. How can you argue with what they are seeing in the scan? He said, no, it's not a girl. There is a boy. It's Joshua. Began to sow seed. Lord, thank you for Joshua. My wife is carrying a son. His name is Joshua. Every time seed sowing is a big evangelist. Sow that seed, bam, for Joshua. Do you know the story, the end of the story? When the wife delivered, she had a boy. And his name is Joshua. And Joshua is still alive now. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. Who made the girl and put the girl in the womb? Who? Huh? He decided to poke God. He decided to provoke God by his faith, by his persistence, and by seed sowing. That, Lord, this is it. And God went back there when the wife was sleeping. Or probably when she was driving. Or probably after she left the hospital and changed everything. I was thinking about some people today when I was meditating on this message. You know, I can only use my life as an example. I've shared it time and time, and I'm going to share it again. Because that's the reality. That testimony is my reality. Going to the hospital. The doctor checked my wife. The gynecology checked my wife. This is a gynecologist that has so many letters after her name. In terms of degrees and everything. And say, ma'am, from what I'm seeing, there's no way your womb is going to carry a child. My wife jumped, got down from that bed, dressed up and said to me, let's go, I'm pregnant. I myself was still a little bit dazed from what the doctor said. And then my wife said, we are not coming back here. I said, I agree. We got home. I mean, the shock of it hit both of us. We cried. We cried on each other. At the point I stopped, I said, stop. What are we crying for? We serve the living God. Hallelujah. That is what a man said they saw. But that is not what God said he's going to do. He said in his word, none shall be barren, right? I said, okay, no problem. Apart from my own personal effort, I will pray. You know my own effort. Because show me your faith. I will show you my works and my faith. That's what the Bible says. So, in the night, I will lay hands on her tummy, on her womb, and I will declare the word of God. When she wakes up in the morning before she goes to work, I will declare the word of God. And then she got pregnant. I'm not going to go into all those stories. I'm just trying to tell you, don't take no for an answer. Don't take no for an answer. Don't just take the word of God and do nothing with it. The word of God is for you to war with. The word of God is for you to fight with. Don't be a lazy Christian who cannot find the purpose of God for themselves in the word of God. Find the promises of God for you. Promises that align to your destiny. They are in the Bible. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Luke 11. From verse 5 to 13, I'm going to read quickly. This is Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise to give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. Importunity there means because of his persistence. Amen? He will rise. I'm sleeping. Don't disturb me. I have nothing to say before you because we are asleep. And then I continue to knock. Whether you want to give me or you don't want to give me, anger will make you great up. Hallelujah. Because I know you have it. So give it to me. Give it to me and go to sleep. So he kept on knocking. Let me read on. He will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, ask. Did you hear that? Huh? He didn't say wish. he said, just think it. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that continues to ask. Everyone that does not stop until they get what they desire. Tell your neighbor, you cannot stop until it is delivered. Oh, if your neighbor does not like you enough to tell you that, you better turn to somebody else who has a better voice and tell you, you cannot stop until it is delivered. You cannot stop until it is delivered. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Isaiah 45, and I've got to read it, verse 11. Listen to this very carefully. Isaiah 45, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, not Kalawansin, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me. Look at that. Let's read it together. One, two, go. Only five people are reading. What's going on with your voice? Let's read together. Verse 11, one, two, go from the beginning. Ask me of things to come. Hallelujah. Ask me concerning my promises. Ask me for things to come. Lord, what are you going to do concerning my life in 2015 or 16? What are you going to do concerning the remainder of 3 weeks in 2015? God say, ask me. God says you can ask him. God says you can place a demand on him. One of my mentors said, God will not do nothing until you place a demand on him. God will not manifest in your life on the earth until man places a demand on God. As God will not force you to get born again, he will not force you to be blessed. But then the Bible says that God is looking for a man. God is looking for somebody. God is looking for some people. Somebody who is tired of their situation. Somebody who is ready to say, Lord, use me. Pass through me. Make me your conduit. Use me for your glory. Somebody, if you are that person, raise up your hand and say amen. Amen. Elijah told the people, go and tell the king to stop fasting. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. That was what heaven told him. Heaven said to him, where nobody could hear it, but he heard it. It's going to rain. And it has not rained for so many years. Elijah said, it's going to rain. And Elijah did not say, I'm going to bed. Hello? What did he do? He went to pray. He went to pray the promise. Hello? The promise God said is going to rain. What did he do? He went to pray. He went upon Mount Carmel. He laid down there. And he said, Lord, let it rain now according to your word. And he told his servant, go and check. Why would he tell his servant to go and check? He told his servant to go and check because he expected the rain to come. Did you hear me? He did what? He expected it. Do you expect answer to your prayer? Expectation to your prayer, if you are expecting answer to your prayer, will also determine your posture. Hello? There are some prayers you've been praying, but really, you don't really expect God to hear them.
Lord bless me. Lord bless me. And then you get $5 raise. Believe me, I will be annoyed. If I'm in your shoes, I'll be annoyed. $5 raise is not a blessing. Hello? That is struggle continues. That is not a blessing. So when that happens, you know your prayer has not been answered yet. You know you have to continue. The blessing is when I need it, I have enough. Praise the Lord. I was telling one of my sons this morning. You see, stop fixating your mind on salary. Dream of something else. I'm not saying leave your job. Hello? Dream of something else. Another stream of income. When there is cohesiveness in the assembly, people will work together to break through. When there is togetherness in the assembly, when there is no selfishness in the assembly, people will work together to do what? To break through. When there is no selfishness in the assembly, people will work together to break through. 7 times, Elijah said to his servant, go. He heard the sound. Nothing happened. He could have given up. But he didn't give up. I'm telling somebody today, don't give up. Tell your neighbor, don't give up. Oh, come on. Tell your neighbor very well, don't give up. Persistence is the name of the game. You have heard it said. We've said it here. Push. Push. Everybody say push. Do you know that a pregnant woman in the process of delivery and the nurses, the OBGYN, the midwives are saying push, push. If the woman refuses to push, there's likelihood that she may die and the baby die. Is that true? And even when the baby's head has crowned, and they say, push. And say, I don't have energy to push. You better have energy to push. You better have energy to push. Push simply means pray until something happens. Keep on praying until your desires are delivered. Are you listening to me? Keep on praying. Don't be a lazy Christian. Sleep is contending with your prayer time. Hello? Hello? I say sleep is contending with your prayer time. Movies are contending with your prayer time. Innuendos are contending with your prayer time. Those things are not going to deliver your destiny. Those things are not going to deliver the purpose of God for your life. Those things are not going to deliver the plans of God for your life. Show me a man who experienced change. I will show you a man who labored in the place of prayer. Even prayer time called. We don't wake up to pray. We are not even saying 3 a.m. We say 5:30. 5:30. Just for 30 minutes. For some people, that is a sacrilege. Why should I wake up at 5:30? And then you don't have a right to complain. I wonder why most of us are not testifying, and I'm hearing testimonies from outside the state of people who call in every morning. I still got one 2 days ago.
As much as I was happy for that woman, I was angry in my spirit. You know why? Because you take for granted what you have. It's as simple as that. You see, what you don't have respect for, you can't receive from. Jesus was in the midst of a lot of people, but only few touched him, and something happened. Only few. When the woman with the issue of blood touched him, do you know how many other people touched him? But touch is different from touch. We see him every day. We are familiar with him. We forget what is called protocol distance. You need to go and research that and understand it. So that when your man of God pronounces a blessing in your life, you know you are receiving the blessing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't leave your destiny to chance. Don't let the enemy just take over your life. Don't just say, well, whatever happens is the will of God. No, it's a lie. With God, it's not que sera, sera. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not whatever happens, that is what God wants. No, it's a lie. You can determine what happens. Amen? You can determine how your life changes. You want a husband? A miracle husband? You can determine how that miracle husband comes to you. Amen? Don't sell yourself short because you don't have a husband. Don't sell yourself short and forget God because you have not had a baby yet. Amen? Anna, you know, Anna never failed going to Shiloh. She never failed. The year she determined to cry to God with her whole heart, that day she didn't go back disappointed. She didn't return disappointed. I stand there and I tell you, there's no time I go to God in the place of prayer. This is my prayer partner here. There's no time I take anything before my God that he doesn't make a way. We all can do the same. You can do the same for... Look, let me tell you. Don't wait for somebody to pray for you. You heard one of my sons last week. He repeated the same thing I've been telling us. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. A closed mouth is what? A closed destiny. And I like something else he said. An alligator in Ijebu or Onitsha is still going to be an alligator in California. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Kansas City must not be your handicap. Do you understand me? The Bible says that God is not a respecter of anybody. He's not a respecter of any place. Anywhere you are, if you are upright, God will manifest in your life. Yeah. It's just that people are looking always for the cheapest way out. I want to be a millionaire, but I don't want to be a frustrated one. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I want this, but I don't want to be frustrated getting it. I don't want to be happy, unhappy after getting it. I don't want to be pursuing what I will get. And at the end, when I get it, I'm like, is this all? Because there is more to life than material things. There is more to life. How many food can each of us eat? How many beds can you sleep on? How many cars can you drive at the same time? How many shoes can you wear in one day? How many clothes can you put on in one day? If you have all the jewelries in this world and you put it all of them on, well, maybe you are Mr. T. I don't know. Praise the Lord. You must be willing to rise up fervently in the place of prayer. This preaching is about prayer and expectation. Praying and expecting the answer. Expectation is what will keep you there.
until it is done. It won't be like those people in Acts of Apostles chapter 12. The Bible says that Peter was in prison. They began to pray for him. Thank God the church was praying. But they were praying a prayer they don't expect to be answered. The same error that killed John the Baptist. Now he has Peter. But let us pray. Even though we know that he's going to kill Peter too. Amen? They began to pray. Angel of God showed up. Opened the door. The Peter they were praying for, he was sleeping. When the angel woke him up, it's time, let's go. Brother Peter arrived at the door of the church and knocked. Pa, pa, pa. They didn't hear the knocking. Until one of them, Rhoda, who was actually not involved in the prayer. You know, some people can be in a prayer place and they are not praying. Huh? Like one brother, during night vigil, in one of my friend's church, they are doing night vigil, everybody's praying, he's sleeping. Intermittently, he will just wake up. Jehovah! At the end of the Jehovah, is another zzz. Until the next time he woke up, he will wake up again. Jehovah! And when you hear his voice, you will think, I'm not praying yet. I better start praying like that brother. No, don't pray like that brother. He's sleeping. Rhoda heard the knock. She ran to the door. It was Brother Peter. What did she do? She closed the door and ran back. And now went to the leader of the prayer. Brother Peter. Let me read it so that you didn't think I'm telling you a story. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close with this. Acts 12. Hallelujah. Are you there? I read from verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, watch this. Who is it? It's me. She knew Peter's voice. She opened not the gate. The Bible says, for gladness, we accept that. But ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. Watch this, verse 15. And they said unto her, you are mad. Hello? Is there? I didn't say it out of. He said, thou art mad. We are just praying. We don't expect him to be released. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his ghost. It is his angel. Verse 16. But Peter continued knocking. That's another dimension for you and I. Knock. Keep knocking. Until the answer comes. And when they heard or they had opened the door and saw him, how can I be surprised about a prayer I'm praying that I'm expecting to come to pass? Hello? Did you understand me? How can I be surprised? My surprise will be that it is not answered. Not that it was answered. I can't be surprised that, oh wow, my prayer is answered. Oh my God. No. My surprise will be, oh what? Why has it not been answered yet? Don't give up. Don't allow any enemy to take over your life. Rise up on your feet.